We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host for the House of Hardcore podcast, Tommy Dreamer!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the House of Hardcore podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Dreamer, and this week we have Impact Wrestling, Savannah. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Tommy, what's up?
How are you? Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
My first question I ask every single person is, what got you hooked in this wonderful world of professional wrestling?
That's always the million-dollar question, I feel like. If we go back a little bit, when I was younger, so I have two brothers. My dad was always wanting to, get us into watching wrestling because that's what he liked watching. But whenever I would sit down and watch it with him, I was not really super interested. I think he was watching, he was a WWF fan. And one day we were at my grandparents' house and my uncles and my grandfather and my dad were watching, maybe it was a Nitro, I don't know, it might've been a Thunder. They were watching WCW. And I sat down and it kind of like drew me in that day because I didn't have anything else to do. I remember, I think Booker T was on, maybe Goldberg. Disco Inferno was definitely on. And for some reason, I just sat down and watched it with them. So then the next week, I watched WWF with my dad. And I was just hooked from there, you know what I mean? The Rock was always someone that I was, tuning back in every week to see what he was doing. But just from there, my interest in wrestling started maybe late 97, maybe early 98. And I never thought it was something you could like go to like training, go to a school, find out and kind of learn. But once I did figure that out, I was like, let me try this. And it went from there. You know what I mean? First day of training and the rest is history.
Where do you live? Where were you growing up?
So growing up, I was born in Charlotte and then I grew up in North Carolina, obviously. So I grew up a little bit there, but my family moved around a lot. So at some points we were in California, we were in Vegas, we were in Colorado for maybe 10 or so years. But eventually we moved back to North Carolina. And that's when I started training here in Charlotte at the High Spots Training School.
Right. Just because it was just, I'm older and, territorial wrestling was around, but for you, you're in the throw of the Monday Night Wars, watching all this. So it is a much different and an amazing time to be a fledgling pro wrestling fan, but the fact that you got hooked and all that is pretty cool. So now how do you go about training?
So the High Spots Training School at the time, the head trainers, George South and Caleb Conley was doing more of the advanced training. And I just kind of was looking online at schools and I realized this one was 20 minutes from where I was. I had no idea it was there. I called them and they told me, okay, you have to come and watch a training first before you even think about signing up. So I went to a Tuesday night George class. Watched and was like, okay, this is cool. The next week I started with George. I didn't go to Caleb's class Wednesday. And then the next week they're like, where were you at on Wednesday? Why weren't you at Caleb's class? So I thought it was just for advanced students, but really, you know, they were willing to work with me, whatever level I was at. So I just started going from there.
It was good that you got heat your first day in. So,
right.
Welcome to the business. So you're training and obviously you're picking it up and then you're doing local indies, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the path we all take. And then, how long are you doing this? How long were you doing this before? I don't know if you, I want to say before you met me or like if you had any other opportunities, like with a WWE tryout or anything like that, because I don't know.
So I definitely met you before I had any WWE tryout. I had a tryout in the middle of the pandemic. It was October 2020. And I think I met you a couple of years before that.
How long do you think you were training when you met me?
It would have had to have been about maybe five years. Yeah, I want to say about 5 years.
Now, for our listeners, I meet you pretty much in a match. We're doing a War Games, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been wrestling. I know how many years I've been wrestling, but I don't remember. I always wanted to do War Games. I did my first one in MLW. And then it was probably like 2 weeks later, I'm in another War Games match. And I'm like, all of a sudden I become the master of this War Games match.
Right. Anyway,
you're with this group. I'm opposite you. And I don't remember what you did. Somebody got slammed in chokes in thumbtacks. It was double steel cage. It was a legit War Games. We had fun. You impressed me. And I remember telling you like, hey, if there's a chance I get you an opportunity, I'll get you an opportunity. You need to work on blah, blah, blah. Correct? This is what I said.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sounds exactly what something I would said when there's somebody that I feel that has potential. Fast forward in the, tell me first about how this whole, you get a tryout during the pandemic, because that's a weird time to
right.
get a tryout.
That's what I was thinking too. So 2017, if we go back further, I did my first extra work with WWE. And I want to say during that year, I did 3 different loops with them. They never used me for like any type of like extra matches because I'm a lot larger than the other extra girls and they want to pick like a smaller girl usually. But I did a couple of the like No Way Jose Conga lines. If people look back, I'm doing that. And then I think I did maybe one other extra spot in 2019. And I think I just kind of kept like refreshing my information in their system. And then I want to say it was Gabe, from Evolve, I think he put a word in like, hey, you know, this is a girl I think you guys should look at. He contacted me to let me know that he gave them my information. And then October 2020, they let me know that, well, a couple months prior, they let me know they were doing the tryout. And I was just like, in the wildest time where for some people, their whole lives were shutting down. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't go to work. I was getting this opportunity. So it was just, it was real wild for me that was the time when my tryout came, you know what I mean? When, you know, training wasn't open. So I hadn't been in the ring for a little bit and the gyms were closed. So I was just working out outside. So it was just an odd time for me to be getting this opportunity, but I just, you know, I just went full force forward.
Now, when you say also bigger, you mean taller?
Yes. Not,
and how tall are you?
I'm 5'9" with my boots, maybe an extra inch.
Got to get lifts. Get to that 6 foot status.
Right. My next boots, I'll get 3 inches.
Well, that is cool. And obviously, you know, they have interest and that process for a lot of people, sometimes it pays off. Sometimes it doesn't pay off, but it's also mm-hmm. like when they keep asking you back, yes, that means you're on their radar. And it's a lot of times, as long as they do nothing wrong, or if you you just do is what you're told, like you said, like, hey, I'll do the conga line. And then it's kind of like, hey, remember that girl? We know we could always use her, or other stuff. It's almost like you're building a resume and you're building within the WWE. You know, they'll take a look at you. Did you ever have the opportunity? Again, it's like you said, it's a weird time because it's not like you're able to get in the ring with people because we're in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have that opportunity?
You mean for the tryout?
Yeah.
So this tryout was unique, not just only that it was during the pandemic. It was an all-female tryout. It was an all-girl tryout. So, and we didn't have it at the regular PC. They had it at the backup PC. So it was just basically two rings in a room and like a smaller office off to the side. So I want to say there was about nine, maybe eight or nine of us. So we were able to get in the ring. We had to have our masks on when we were in the ring. You know, the coaches were there. They drilled us on like conditioning, cardio stuff. And they just wanted to see how well we moved, you know, how well we took instructions. We did rolls, we did cardio, and then we were able to do like promos at the end too.
Any of those girls, you know, that got signed or no?
Yeah. I think I remember most of their indie names and not their WWE names, but yeah, quite a few of them did get signed. Some of them are still there. A couple, you know, were there and then left.
And you're actually working for High Spots at this time too.
At that time, yes.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing for High Spots?
So with High Spots, if anyone ordered any knee pads from High Spots between say 2017 to like last year, I was putting together knee pads, helping with ring skirts, making t-shirts for people's orders. Just stuff like that.
When you say kinda, making, you were physically sewing them together?
Yes. So prior to this, I had not sewn since maybe home ec class in middle school. So I kind of had to relearn how to use a sewing machine. But yeah, I was physically sewing knee pads together with the neoprene and putting the logo on it, all that good stuff.
That is pretty damn cool. And you had no knowledge how to do that beforehand.
Right. Yeah. It was all stuff that I was learning like on the job. And it was really at a time where I started training, and then maybe 2 years later I started working there. So it was a good opportunity for me to know different sides of wrestling, you know, how obviously, you know, training and going to local shows, you're putting the ring together, but really, really knowing how the ring goes together, how those turnbuckle pads are made, just every kind of in and out of every just in and out of wrestling behind the scenes and being involved in it.
When my trainer, he was a WWE Hall of Famer, Johnny Rods, still is, and he made us, as our graduation, you had to break down the ring and set it up by yourself.
Ooh, by yourself.
Yeah. And that was like, hey, this pretty much went, because he wanted you to learn every aspect of the business. Like, I took the ring robes and towels back from the guys. I'm still a fan, but I'm getting smart into the business. I refereed, you know, you do all these things. And then, you know, ECW, you learn all the other aspects of the industry, which also, like JR would say it all the time, it's great to wear many hats, because eventually your body will go. But if you still have a lot of things you can contribute, you can still be in an industry or the business that you really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
I like to make knee pads. I wonder, I'm the worst customer because I still have the same neoprene since 1996 that I still wear. And same knee pads and knee wraps. I recently just took a picture when I wrestled Kobe Carino because they were the same ones I wrestled his father in. And I've never washed them. And that's the key to my longevity and success, is they're all still together because of it.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw that tweet, but I did not know you had not washed them since. They're your lucky pair.
I wear them all the time. I feel once I wash them, my career is going to end. I'm just going to fall apart. Like my arms, my legs will just fall off.
Yep. It just
they don't smell.
Away.
That's the worst part.
Which is odd. I don't know.
Has anybody ever sent you like, hey, these don't work, and then they send you back like, or they don't fit and they send it back to you?
Yeah, the worst is when they'll send them to us and be like, hey, these were too small or too big, and they send them back to us and you can tell they've been worn in matches before and they're like ripped up. And I'm like, you didn't just buy these. These are old. You've worn these a couple times. You're not getting a refund.
That's awesome. wrestlers are insane and then the best. I wonder how many people also like bought stuff just for like, I want to say like, I don't want to say backyard, but like costumes.
Or yeah.
Just to say like, I own a pair of knee pads. I own a pair of, you know, something from a real wrestling company.
Mm-hmm. And some people would do it for like, just for like a Halloween costume. And I'm like, you paid this much money for a Halloween costume? I mean, go ahead, man. But yeah, or sometimes people would just want replicas of like their favorite, you know, superstars outfits. And then there was a couple like, you know, movie companies and like TV shows that would order in bulk wrestling stuff. And I'm like, this is going to come back. They're going to send this back in a couple of months. Cause what do they need 50 pairs of knee pads for after they're done filming?
Wow. That's interesting. I honestly never thought about all that stuff. Well, that's cool. You supplied a lot of people with their pads and stuff. That's very interesting to me.
The one thing, like you said, to make yourself more, you know, for longevity in wrestling after you can't wrestle anymore, I'm determined to learn how to sew gear, because while I can do like the knee pads and stuff like that, spandex is harder to work with. And so I have not mastered that, but I think that's one I definitely need to get down, because everyone's looking for gear makers, everyone. And then gear makers are getting burned out. So it's always like a good place to be involved in.
My mom has made all my gear since day one. And she used to make robes. She made gear for a lot of the wrestlers. And then she realized that the wrestlers are pretty picky as well as sometimes annoying or and she was doing it because I was trying to, this was before like, you could realize that you could actually have your own business doing this. Yeah. And then she's just like, I don't want any more orders. I don't want, because people are like, hey, these are too tight. Can you, and she's like, once they're made, they're hard to, you know, if you're giving me the measurements, I'm going, these are exactly the measurements that you gave me.
Yep.
So for me, she could always come and alter it. But I mean, we've had a few wrestlers who would come to the house and fix it all up. But now you, like you said, it's a big business. I'll ask people like, hey, where'd you get this? And they're like, oh, but there's like a 3-month backup on this person, or this person, you know, I sent this person, I haven't heard from this person. Hopefully they're going to get back to me, because if not, I'm going to have to sue them.
Right.
Because it's through the mail. It's then federal. It gets pretty crazy with wrestling gear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so old. There literally used to be just one wrestling company. My mom didn't make my first pair, but there was only one wrestling company that produced wrestling gear. There's one boot company and one wrestling company. And they were the staples. And all my boots are from there. And I had a singlet. My mom couldn't master the singlet. And then once, like, I never liked it. And then my mom was like, let me just try to make this. And then she always made my pants. And then she made my pants and my everything, my suspenders, robes, the current pants that I wear. But I've probably been wearing those same pants for about ever since Dusty Rhodes passed away. So I've been wearing that same gear. I get a lot out of my gear, just so you know that. quality.
Well, right. And the gear was made out of the kindness of her heart. So it's going to last you forever.
Love.
Yes.
Well, you should definitely learn how to sew, because especially we're working in Impact. You could just do people's gear right there. You go in and out all the time. I may start a business with you. We may have a private conversation right after this.
Because people are always needing alterations, like, backstage. So why not? Why not just do it?
And you get the people to put on the gear there to change it. We're kind of starting to work every 2 weeks. We may be on to something here. I think we're going to have to do something. Yeah. Anyway, side story. Hey there, auto mechanics and super cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars. I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. This is your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. Rockauto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, never have quite what you need, and then after all the hassle, we'll still charge you storefront markups. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need, whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or working on your own car. Everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So if you're a car guy, right now go to rockauto.com and check out the parts available for your car. You're going to have so much fun looking at car parts. So once more, go to rockauto.com. No promo code needed, as their pricing is already that good. When you order, make sure to tell rockauto.com that you heard about them right here on the House of Hardcore podcast. Rockauto.com. Let's get back into it. Okay, so now, does your big break, I'm sorry, you did a few things for AEW as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had two dark matches with AEW. One was like the weekend before my WWE tryout. And then the next one, I think, was maybe summer 2021. It was my last one.
And you're working now 5 to 6 years when you're getting all this?
At that point, yeah, but probably about 6 years. Yeah, 5, 6.
I find I love a story like this because, as you know, wrestling is, it's a hard road of paying your dues. It's a one-sided relationship a lot of times. So within, I don't know, when did I call you?
You called me maybe June. No, you called me July of last year.
So within all this time, you're literally working for, trying out for WWE, AEW, and then Impact calls all around the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's pretty awesome if you really think about it.
It is. And especially, again, the state that the world was in of right. Like a pandemic where you don't assume any opportunities are coming because a lot of places aren't really running.
Well, for me, I remember making that promise to you. And then we were looking for what Kira was leaving. And we were looking for something for Tasha. And I was like, I want a Sean and a Diesel. And I know the girl. And I remember you sending me a tape. And I was like, hey, because I have to show this to other people. And I was like, perfect. And they were on the fence when they first saw it. Because, and I was like, listen, like, I don't know how long ago this was. And then you sent me another one. But when we talk about right place, right time, with the pandemic and everything that's going on, it's oof, like, hey, we, you know, this could work for us. We could go for a long, try to search for everybody, but this seems to be a fit. And I always say this in life, you need somebody to be in your corner. And I'm like, listen, this is the great role for her. If it doesn't work out, you can just not work out. Doesn't have to be a permanent fit. And then I tell you, I remember talking to you. I'm very open and honest with everybody. Hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z. You did X, Y, and Z, and then you wind up in Impact Wrestling, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember your debut, sadly, because, and I also created it in my head, I think, with the writing team. Can you refresh my memory how it happens?
Yeah. The debut is, it's Tasha and Kira. I don't remember who they were wrestling, but they end up losing the match. Yep. So they're having a little bit of, Kira's, I think, yeah, she's apologizing, I believe, to Tasha. And Tasha's face is a little unreadable. She looks upset. She's looking down. And then, you know, it pans in close on them. I slide in the ring. They pan out and I'm just standing there. You know, the commentators are like, who is this? Who is this? Kira kind of steps up and I just boot her in the face.
Because Kira is now going to AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her last night. They kind of also left it open. And I remember after you gave that big boot, we had Tasha on the stage, like, kind of like, did she set this up? Did she not set this up?
Mm-hmm.
And then the two of you get paired together. So it's like, yeah, she did kind of, you know, possibly set it up. Or if Kira ever comes back, it's a whole other story you can tell back footage. But who cares? Because now you're here and you're now firing on all cylinders. You and Tasha have been the Sean and Diesel, which is a really, really cool thing. And I know, like, you know, because you have to unfortunately deal with me and my wrestling crazy brain, that I don't want to say it's uber critical, but it's always made ways to make us better. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that, like, I love that. I love criticism and critiques, not like, hey, you're a piece of shit. Why did you do this? You suck. It's, if you did this, it's just ways to get better.
Yeah. Cause if no one says anything, then you don't know anything's wrong. Then you can't make that correction. You can't make that change. And you just go on without that improvement, that knowledge.
Or they're just going to let you go and say, this person's not improving. And they don't tell you they want you to improve. Like when you did, not to give anything away, but when you went to the WWE tryout, they did not hire you. Did they tell you why they didn't hire you?
They didn't. They just said that they didn't have anything for me at the moment. And then I'm welcome to come back and have another tryout, which doesn't, like you said, it doesn't pinpoint anything. It just leaves it very open of, okay, well, they didn't want me right now. I don't know why, but they didn't.
That bothers me. I don't know if they can tell people because of like podcasts or because stuff where I don't want to say get a bad reputation or, you know, I mean, hell, WWE has been sued for a lot of stupid things. You wouldn't want someone to say, well, they said this to me and, you know, now I'm going to sue them. But for me, it's like, hey, this is why I've picked this person over this person. I still like you. I still am interested in, but you know, this person's a better wrestler than you. This person, you can't tell a person that they're younger than another person because then that's age discrimination. So there is a lot of things. I mean, or it could just be like, hey, we were looking to hire four people. We were on the fence. You finished number five. Hopefully when this opportunity happens again, but I hate the unknown factor because it'll chew you up.
Yep, absolutely.
I got that letter still when WWE, when I sent my tape in and they said they're not interested in me. I literally have that. And I have a photo albums. It's the first page of my book. And I saved that from day one as in for motivation to be like, screw you people. I'm going to make you want me.
Yep. And it's definitely motivation.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter because now you're doing better. So you and Tasha, did you know Tasha before you got paired up with her?
I had met Tasha a couple times on the indies. And then I want to say maybe a couple years prior, we had a match for Queens of Combat here in Charlotte.
So you have a relationship with her. Here's what also the best thing about you, like you got along... Impact Wrestling, we have a very, very tight locker room. You got along with everyone very, very quickly, which is cool because, hey, here's a new person. It's a very open locker room in the sense of they don't, you know, it's not like, oh, this person's coming to take my spot. It's this person's coming in to help this company get over. And I remember, what was it like? We were all based out of Nashville when all this was happening. And for you, it was just like, because I remember like Scott being like, yeah, Savannah's a really nice woman. You know, Savannah's, yeah, she did this, she did that. It was always something positive to the point where they, you know, I mean, now you're on the roster all the time. But like in those early stages, those are the important things when you're trying to get a job. It's also not like, oh, she got too comfortable too quick. You know,
yeah.
You think that happened because of your trainer?
I think so. Definitely. George kind of instills like, not like an earn your spot type of thing, but definitely like, don't go in there just being, you know what I mean? Like you own the place or that you belong already, because maybe you don't belong already. I think a lot of it is just my upbringing too. Like, same deal where you kind of have to like prove that you are, you know what I mean? Like trustworthy, or yes, prove that you can do this job. And if you go in there, you know, just acting dumb, acting stupid, their first impressions are here. So I always try to just leave a good first impression. And I knew a lot of the girls from the indies. I think I was just new to a lot of the office, a lot of the people in the office. So I definitely just wanted to make sure they realize, you know, hey, I'm serious. Hey, you know, I listen, you know, I'm a good person, not anyone that you don't want in the locker room. But I think that's a lot of my upbringing.
Nice. Do you have a favorite moment so far for yourself in Impact?
I think those moments keep growing, but I definitely, a really cool moment for me was winning the Monsters Ball match, because it's just such a cool, unique, different match. And I'm not even, you know, a super hardcore wrestler, but to be in that match with those ladies, it was great. And just, you know, to come out on top, I was like, wow, you know, it's like they put faith in me to be in this match, to exemplify what Monsters Ball is, basically. And then for it to be the Daphne tribute show as well, that was just, it was mind blowing for me. And it was like a cool honor.
Yeah. So, that show, there weren't fans there yet, were there?
Yeah, no, there were fans. I want to say it was one of the first shows with fans back, right. I want to say.
Now, I love what you said about the moments keep growing, because they do. And that is key to always want to continue to keep on being better, keep on moving forward. Mm-hmm. This entire time, how long you've been within Impact?
I want to say I started in August.
So mm-hmm. September, October, November, December, January, February, March, almost April. We're going on 8 months, you grizzled vet. And this entire time, you're pretty much working on a handshake deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know, because I had texted you about something. And you're like, I text you something about you did a really great job in your match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you said something like, hey, they just offered me a contract. And I was just like, what? Like, they keep me in the dark about a lot of things. They like you. Yeah. They don't like me. So, I mean, that's a moment as well for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was literally maybe less than an hour before you texted me. Like, I thought you knew. And then you were just like, congratulations. I'm like, cool. But yeah, like just when I think, I had a favorite moment already with Impact, it just keeps, the list keeps adding on. And obviously being offered a contract is huge. You know what I mean? And for me, a lot of people are like, oh, well, okay, well, you made it, you offered a contract. But for me, it's like, no, now is the time to start really rolling, because I have more to prove, because I'm, you know what I mean? Like, you were offered a contract.
And you get the contract, and then it's, these people believe in me, and they're going to mm-hmm. believe in me for however the length of the contract is. And whether, like, I mean, I know I was there for Kira. When Kira got signed, it was just like, I've known her since the indies. And then she went from here to AEW. So it's, you get to see those moments. And like, even at her, you know, Impact wanted her to re-sign. And so it's, these are life's steps. I always say, like, you could either stay here or go somewhere else. It may not be a great choice to go somewhere else, or it may blow up for you and you'll have the best opportunity in your life. And you could always come back. Which you'd be a bigger star once you come back. And I think it's cool that, like, as long as you leave the right way and there's no heat, like, that's an opportunity that a lot of people do. And they have. So I'm happy very, very happy. And I'm very, very proud of you, because like I said, I watched the majority of your matches. live and then I try to give you instant feedback, or I have to watch, part of my job is to watch the matches and critique. And whenever I critique you, you always improve. And I tell you, I've done this for a long, long time. And like since WWE to TNA, my own company, and back with Impact, it's always the women that listen, adapt, and change more so than the men. I don't know why that is.
I can tell you why that is.
Why?
Because a lot of times people go to wrestling shows and they don't expect anything from the women's match. I'm not saying everybody, I'm just saying like a lot of people. So we feel that there is, at least I do, there's more pressure to show that you can go, that you aren't just, you know, doing the bare minimum, that you are, you're also an athlete and that you're top tier. And I feel like whenever I don't perform that way, I'm like, oh, now I'm just proving them right, that they had nothing to watch in these women's matches. But, and I think a lot of women kind of put that pressure on themselves to be better, because there's, you know, a ton of guys, there's only like, there's, you know, way less more women, but we all just kind of want to show, hey, you know, don't think this way about us. We can go, we can do this.
I can totally see that point. I think it's because I never viewed women, or I want to say like women wrestling or women. I knew in my career when Beulah or Francine, whenever they would get involved in the match, the match would reach its highest.
Yeah.
And I realized that, and I never was just like they're a part of the act. So I never, and I always hated when, I've never viewed it as, oh, that was a great woman's match. I would always be like, that's a great match. Mm-hmm. And I remember what Trish and Victoria and all them used to have to go through, you know, doing the bra and panty stuff and all that stuff. Cause I would always be like, I dare one dude to go out there and do that, because they'd be more self-conscious than most women. And I never say, hey, for a girl, do this. It's, hey, do this, you know, mm-hmm. or you're taller than everybody. Do this because you're taller than everybody, blah, blah, blah. But I that is cool that you said that and made me really do think about it. And like, especially like when I was running developmental system, or even just when I was a talent, and they would, and I tell you, like Melina would like, hey, watch my match. And anything I told her, she would change. Candace, Beth Phoenix, like even Mickey. And Mickey was like, I mean, I've known Mickey pretty much since she started, but she would always like, what'd you think? And even the best is I go to her, what'd you think? And she'll tell me her honesty. And like, you, that's what I was saying to me. You just need those people in your corner, but also, you know, there's some people out there that are just telling you just to tell you, or they're just telling you because they feel they're getting good graces with you. But for me, it's just like, I want you to be the one, the Knockouts champion. I want you to be the WWE champion. I want you to be the AEW champion, whatever happens in your life. I want that. And I want to be like, cool, that's somebody that I helped, because I know how many people have helped me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's cool that you gave me that other perspective, because I honestly didn't see it, because yeah. I don't look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, and another thing, like, I don't view color as a thing, but it is a definite thing. How does it feel for you to be a woman of color wrestling? And because it's finally a big deal in the world, like it should be. And when I say I don't care about it, because I don't view, I view you as, you know, my peer, my friend. I don't like, oh, there's my black friend. And I don't think you're saying, oh, there's my white friend, Tommy Dreamer. It's just, oh, there's Dreamer, there's Savannah. Mm-hmm. How does that feel for you?
I think it kind of ties in the same note of the pressure that I feel as like a female wrestler. I think it also ties into pressure I feel as a black wrestler. And then for me, it's like double pressure, because it's like there aren't as many, you know, black wrestlers in prominent roles on TV. So you want to show, hey, no, I can do this. Look at me. And same thing with being a woman. And for me, I really get a kick out of, you know, on local shows at the merch table after the match or whatever, like little kids coming up to the table, like, oh, you kicked that dude's ass or you kicked that girl's ass. And you know what I mean? Like it's the little girls and like the little Black girls and the little Black boys. And it's just like, oh my gosh, like you're affecting them in a way that you maybe didn't even think about. Cause for a while I didn't think about that. But for me, it's just, you know, I want to go out there and show, yeah, I'm a good wrestler, but I'm also, you know, a female wrestler. I'm a Black wrestler and I'm representing a big group of people.
You have a platform to help other people try to improve their life. I literally had this conversation today with Thunder Rosa. We're recording this. Thunder Rosa is going into her big match tonight. And on Busted Open, she starts breaking down crying and talking about, you know, my humble beginnings in Mexico. And now I'm staying in hotels that I could never dream of staying in growing up poor. And, you know, fighting, I mean, destroying our bodies, but to try to make our lives better. And you're doing it. And I'm really, really happy that I've been in your corner and I'll continue to be in your corner. And I'm very, very happy and proud of you that you got that contract offer. And I'll always be in your corner till the day I'm not here. That's kind of how I've been with everybody from Jazz to Lita to a lot of women and men that I've given assistance to in their journey in life. So thank you for that. And thank you for trusting me because it means a lot to me.
No, thank you, because it means the most to have someone put their faith in you. You know what I mean? And you put your foot out there for me, because not everyone's willing to do that. So to me, it means a lot that you're saying you do have my back. You know what I mean? Like, and I know you do. It's just not everyone's willing to do this. When you find someone that is, you know, that means so much to me.
I hear you. Well, before I get emotional and I'm older, I start to cry. So I'm very, very happy you're got offered a contract. And I will see you in a couple of days when we're doing our next tapings. And I look forward to seeing what your future holds with Impact Wrestling. How do fans find you on social media?
All right. So my social media is, if you're going to Instagram, it's Savannah Evs, just Savannah EVS. Same thing on Facebook, Savannah Evs. On Twitter, someone has Savannah Evans, so it's Savannah Evans, the letter N, the letter V. And all my links are there to my, to, you know, my Big Cartel and all that kind of stuff are there too.
People, somebody owned Tommy Dreamer and then tried selling it to me. I was like, no, I'm good. I'll just put the right in front of it.
Exactly.
And my name that I own, no problem, when Twitter was first invented.
And I tried putting like a V in front of it, but the name is so long already by itself. It was too many characters. So I'm like, I can't win. And the girl that has Savannah Evans hasn't used it in like 10 years. I think her last tweet was like 2011 or something. So it's just like, come on, can I have this now?
Disable that account. Yeah, but then you got to grow your platform all over again. You're more over than the other Savannah Evans. Come on.
Yeah. Who'd she ever be?
Exactly. Well, thank you for being part of this week's House of Hardcore podcast. I appreciate it. And that's it for this week's show. See you.